Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today at Diary of a Sex Therapist. My name is Elizabeth Akwenli, and I am your host. All right, so I released my book, Nakedness is Next to Godliness, last month, and it became imperative that we needed to have it serious because, as usual, my diary says something personal about me. I knew I needed to touch on some of the things that inspired the book, some experiences, how I came to that materialization that nakedness is next to godliness. Like, every person who has heard it has been wondering, how in the world did the name come? Like, how can you? I don't know, too. Like, it just happened. All right. Inside that gist, the name did come from the original sentence, nudity is next to godliness. My friend was always fighting with me about nudity. Like, hey, girl, dress up. Girls host them. Like, see, just leave me. This has to be next to godliness. And one of those days, it just dawned on me that it's true. Until Adam and Eve fell, we had no conversation on clothes. The same thing happens with real life. Now, the sentence, cleanliness is next to godliness, is believed to have come from an old preacher in the 70s. Who was inspiring Christians to take their bath, use oil on their skin and not look boring. And you know how boring and all of those looks, yeah? That don't look that way. Look good. You can be a Christian tongue-talking and still look good. And you know that still falls within our jurisdiction. It's about being spiritual and being sexy, yeah? And so it became a theme for people, became a creed, and became a lifestyle. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Except we began to adopt it to other areas of our lives. So, you know, we have problems and we keep it to ourselves. In fact, even God is unworthy of our problems these days. We are so spiritual that when we come before God, we just want to give ourselves away so you can use me. Like, we're just so giving it away. We're so spiritual, so pious, so on top of our games, no balls dropping, you know, we're just so put together. Nothing is ever wrong. And so we don't know how to take breaks. We don't know how to rest. We don't know how to receive help. We don't know how to ask for help. To ask is different. To receive it is another thing entirely. We don't know how to not be the leader. We don't know how to put our feet up and relax. We're just so uptight. And if you're like me, you're a mover. Like, you're constantly on the move. You have something, new vision, new this, new that. Execution, blah, 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 ideation. You're just all over. You're moving per second. And somewhere in all of this, I felt God was saying to me years ago while I was a student on campus. We were singing the song I just sang. I gave myself away so you can use me. And I felt the Holy Ghost say to me, you know, we sing that song, we get very spiritual. We sing things like, I gave my money away, I gave my stage away. You know, we just keep giving. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. We like those moments. We feel highly spiritual. Don't underestimate it. I'm not disregarding those moments, yeah? But in that heartbeat, I felt the Lord was saying to me, how do you people give me your money and withhold your pain? And it felt like someone slapped on me, like, whoosh, whoosh, what, Lord, say that again. We don't give you our pain. And then I began to look at moments in my life when I tried fixing things myself, considering the abusive history I had growing up. While I may not have had full-on rape situations, I had multiple sexual assault situations, multiple sexual harassment situations. I mean, from my bosses, my classmates, my colleagues. It was just all over the place. To the bisexual lady who tried jumping me and eventually injured me. Yeah, so there are all of those experiences. And in that moment, I felt the Lord was saying, how do you try to fix this? Prior to that time, I was coming to that place as a Christian where I was tired of being a Christian. I mean, I understood my problems when I was not saved. I have high sexual urges. I feel like clubbing every once in a while. I'm not a club person. I didn't really end up in a club because I didn't know how to dance. I wasn't very huge with alcohol. I wasn't a beer person. And I get really uncomfortable when I'm around a lot of smokes and everything. So clubbing wasn't something I really did. But at least I knew my bearing. I knew my moral principles, at least my personal ones, even though I ended up breaking all of them before I got saved. But I knew what it was for me. But then I get saved and I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what to wear. Am I supposed to wear long skirts? I wasn't much of the skirt girl. I was more of the jean person and sneakers. Am I supposed to stop working out? Okay, by the way, I had good body enough that got me problems as a teenager and I stopped working out. In fact, I have never hit the gym or hit my workouts running like I have since I was a teenager, since I was 16. I haven't. I probably will. I will this year. Not probably. I will this year. Probably going back next month. It was supposed to be this month. Anyway, that's just for another day. And so with the Lord saying that, I knew I needed to do something. I needed to come to a place where I was open. It was fine. I couldn't tell every other person my story because every other person had different reaction. But it's important that we be open with the Lord. And so I started trying out funny things, like when I think I have a crush on someone. Like, hey, Holy Ghost. Okay, so there's really this funny guy I met yesterday. This funny guy I met last week. And he's this and he's that. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think? As silly as that just sounded, like, it brings results. I wasn't someone who would pray for a man. I mean, sit down and pray for a man. I might not pray for my vision. What are people talking about? But in those funny little prayers, something would happen that would show that, okay, this is not where the Lord is leading me. And that's also how I came into my assignment as a sex therapist for such a time as this. All right? So it's important. It is absolutely important that we are open enough to God. Today is about being naked with God. It's important that we are open. And that's what this series is about. This is an introduction. I want us to prepare our hearts. Next week, I'm going to be talking about naked with God correctly. This is just a general introduction. Sometimes the people who could help us are in our lives, but we are just so shut up. So someone hurts me the last time, I can't risk it this time. Someone did this the last time, I can't risk it this time. See, Saul was trying to kill David in that same house. Was the miracle of David in the person of Jonathan. If David had decided, you know what, I am just going to put up this whole Saul family people, I'm just going to lock them up in one place, he would have missed the divine covenant that was the person of Jonathan. And Jonathan was necessary for his ascension. Many times we're just so upset with someone else who hurt us that we can't even be open with people. Okay, it's fine that your parents were abusive. What about meeting other people outside? Oh, your friend broke your trust. But your friend is just one person out of over 7 billion people on planet Earth. All right? Being naked, being open, being vulnerable is more about you than it is about other people. And I'll explain that. A lot of times we like to make sentences like, I can't be her friend. She's not an honest person. My question back at you. Are you honest? Are you genuine with yourself? When the lights are off and the crowd is gone, who are you? If you weep on your pillow every night, if you soak your pillow every night, and not a single person knows during the day that you do, you have a problem. I say that with all sense of humility, but you do have a problem. It means you don't have people to connect with. Humans, living things, were created for community. You see that whole bickering, that whole sibling rivalry, that whole contention in the office, at home, in your group, in your community is necessary. It's necessary for adaptation, it's necessary for building resilience, it's necessary for emotional intelligence, it's necessary for social skills, it's necessary. It is very necessary. You can't just be by yourself all the time. You can't be hidden from other people, be hidden from God. Where do you find strength? What is your anchor? What do you go to on days when you're weak? Because we are not always on top of our game. See, Jesus was all of God, all of man. Yet Jesus gets to Gethsemane, and his prayer at Gethsemane for me is humbling. It's not even about the blood dripping out of him or what he was about to do. It was the fact that Jesus was so weak that an angel needed to add strength onto Jesus. An angel. I mean, Jesus is higher. But an angel needed to add strength unto Jesus. Jesus had all the power of God. He had the promise of God. He had the wisdom of God. He had the understanding of God. Jesus knew he was not going to stay in hell. He knew he was going to go to the belly of the earth and come out in 3 days. Like, he knew the end. Yet he gets to Gethsemane and his prayer point is that this cup pass over me. Do you understand the impulse of that? That this cup pass over me.
And so he's praying for strength to go through and do the Father's will. And that was important. Oh, mind you, he had his friends around. Jesus wasn't a lone ranger. The man had, he had disciples, his 12. He had his three, he had his one nigga, John the Beloved. At least he crowned himself that. All right. So it becomes important that we are open enough. If we say we are Christians, if we say we are believers, if we say we are followers of Jesus, then it's important that we learn and emulate him, that we be like him. Jesus wasn't a lone ranger. There's this funny tweet on Nigerian Twitter that said, even the Bible calls you beloved. Allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to be taken care of. Allow yourself to experience community. Allow yourself to be open and experience healing. Healing doesn't happen in secrecy. You don't break an addiction alone. You don't. It's a complex mathematics. You don't. It takes unnecessary time. When I say you don't, I'm not saying you can't. It just takes unnecessary time, unnecessary energy. There are people who've done this thing and they failed and they're willing to share. There are people who've gone down this Christian journey, people who have tried out this business journey, people who have tried out this motherhood thing, people who have tried out marriage that didn't work, some others worked. There are people all around who can give you sound advice. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. And we're just going to overlook all of this because some people hurt you, or you heard some people hurt someone else. And so you are not being open. You're not taking advantage of the community and the people the Lord has given you. You're not being open. And so you are not being correctly godly. That's the idea of nakedness is next to godliness. You're not being correctly godly because times when you have struggles, you have no one to pull you up. Ecclesiastes speaking says, if one be cold, the other will keep him warm. If one falls to the ground, the other will lift him up. It's not just marriage, it's everything. It's everything. There is that need for openness. But the other person will not know that you need help if you don't ask a lot of times, because they are not mind readers. So you are not being correctly godly. You're probably still struggling with an aspect of your life because you're trying to hide it. You're trying to hide it from God. You're trying to hide it from people. You're trying to hide it even from yourself. That's the last painful one. It's when you are not even honest enough to tell yourself, okay, Liz, you have this problem. One time in school, I think it was in 200 level. This was 2013 or so. Yes, 2013. I'd just gotten born again the year before. And I didn't understand what was happening to me again. I felt I had become fake because trying to be a church girl. So I wrote a list of all the things I used to do when I was not a church girl. Yeah, how I saw myself. I mean, my personality. It wasn't even the things I did versus the things I didn't do in terms of flexing and everything. No, just my personality. And then I juxtaposed it with the things I do now as a Christian. And I realized, oh, okay, so there's a loophole here. Holy Spirit, help me figure out this loophole. Because I feel like I'm fake. I mean, I don't like skirts. And then suddenly I'm wearing pencil skirts almost every day of the week. We have a problem, oh Baba. We have a problem, serious one. Let's figure this thing out. I go from being not born again to becoming an ESCO in prayer unit in 1 year. Oh my God, the expectations were crazy. There were days when people literally met me on the road and their first question is, woman of God, what's the Lord saying? I used to get irritated. Like, I mean, you didn't ask me if I slept well. But in being honest with myself came my healing. In being honest with myself came the opportunity to know, oh, okay, I could be godly in this way. I could retain this in my life and be a godly person. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. On my own personal journey, what do I need? What don't I need? I didn't figure some of them out for 7 years. But being honest at every junction brought me where I am. Where I am right now is not a function of trying to look at someone else. It's a function of being open. I am annoyingly open sometimes because I have tried silence. I mean, I was harassed and assaulted from 14 and nobody knew anything till I was about 16. Oh no, the first insulting one started at 10, but I didn't think it was a big deal till 14 when I was even beginning to disbelieve there was goodness in this world. 14 and 16, I almost went into the army. I was just hurting, frustrated, angry. And at 16, I went to school one of those days, my new school, and my new male friend. We're all in class. We're all at the prayer meeting together. And the guy leading looked at two of us and said, two of you, go and bring out your secrets. I mean, this was in front of a whole congregation. It was hilarious. So everybody was looking at us like, what's your secret? Two of you have a secret. I hope you're sleeping together. You know, all this curiosity. But then I found out that afternoon that in talking to him and telling him my problems, the things I've been through and listening to his side of the story, I just felt relieved to know I was not some alien who fell from Mars. And that for me was the beginning of my healing journey. I think I did an episode on it called Foot in the Door. Yes, that guy, he was the foot in the door for me at 16. Because at 16, I was ready to shut out the world. I was done with this madness called people. I was done with this madness called community. For community is who we are. So thank you so much for tuning in today.
Please, 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 don't miss this series. Nakedness is next to godliness. This will jumpstart your healing journey. If you stopped along the way, you've gotten fatigued, you've been bored, you've been stressed, you need this. All right, see you next week, Friday, 6 p.m. West African time. Bye. And of course, you can pick up the book. You can pick up the book. I'm going to say that again. You can pick up the book on Seller at www.seller.co/naked. Very simple. Seller.co/naked. Just go pick your copy of the book. And interestingly, it wasn't one person who wrote it. It was a series of teaching from naked humans by six counselors. We just did a compilation. So it's comprehensive for different aspects of your life. All right? See you next week, Friday. Bye.